God bless you all. Let's sing this song to the glory of the Lord. My heart is definitely feeling for everyone that's suffering right now with sicknesses. My mother-in-law, Brother Dale, and see everybody get well. Including myself with blood pressure, different things, you know. So Lord, just please touch us, and I trust him to do that.
The great physician now is near. The still but I sing Jesus. He speaks. He speaks the true being heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song. Sweetest name on Martha's tongue. Sweetest carol ever sung. Oh, Jesus. Blessed Jesus, your many sins are all forgiven. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Go to heaven and wear a crown with Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song. Sweetest name on Martha's tongue. All glory to the dying Lamb. I now believe in Jesus. I love to say my Savior's name. Jesus, sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on Martha's tongue, sweetest carol. Jesus, blessed Jesus, his name dispels my guilt and fear. No other name but Jesus. Oh, delights to hear the charming name of Jesus. Sweetest note in Sarah's song. Jesus. Sweetest known in seraph song. Sweetest name on mortal's tongue. Sweetest carol ever sung. Oh, Jesus, blessed Jesus.
Let's all stand. I guess our brother's ready to sing. Get ready to change over service here. We'll sing. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
It's number... And I come to feast just like y'all do, you know.
Amen.
You know, we... Ministers have to have something. God has to give us something for our own personal walk, our own Christian life, something that feeds us.
Amen.
But then God gives us something to give to the people also. And so, you know, there's things that come to us that we don't, you know, sometimes you don't necessarily share with everybody else, but it's something that means something to you. It's personal to you. And so, you know, that's what we want to do. We want God to feed us, feed our souls. That's our, you know, many times we go through life and we don't understand all things, but you know, we know that all things are in God's hands. God's got it all in control. We don't understand why things happen the way they do. So I guess we're going to try to do this and see. And this is going to be for a friend of mine who likes to compliment me on my singing. She's going to turn red in a minute. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call of now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He satisfies the hungry every time. So come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call of now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take His bride to be ever at His side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Yes, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Yes, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand this afternoon, this evening, and let's look to the Word of God. And appreciate each one of you, and appreciate the Lord getting us through and all of His blessings. And we continue to pray for each one that's sick and needy. And I don't know if Brother Bob mentioned it tonight. I didn't hear, but Janine's at home tonight, and I don't know if he mentioned that or not, but Janine's been sick. She got a lot of nasal stuff and everything, and just she ain't feeling too well, so and y'all just pray for her. So she came home last night and tried to eat supper, and after a while she just finally laid her head on the table. So she was not feeling good. So, and because she started a new job, she doesn't have any vacation or sick time or whatever. She's just trying to plug right through. So y'all pray for her tonight. And just remember, a lady that I work with, her husband passed away yesterday, and his name's Tim Bean. And just remember the Bean family and all of them. And they had just, within the last few weeks, they had just went through a house fire. And it wasn't a full loss, but if anybody's ever been to a house fire, it ain't what gets burned up. It's what gets damaged. Water damage, everything gets wet and everything collapses. If you ever go in a house and it's completely covered in wet sheet rock and insulation and all that, I mean, there's just so much that gets ruined. And they just bought their daughter clothes for school and, you know, just a lot of different things. And, you know, they've been trying to work on that. And then he got sick and they ended up putting him in the hospital. And then he was struggling, and it just, he took a turn, and there was no turning back. It just, so y'all certainly remember her and the two girls, because I don't know what I'd do in their situation, but we certainly can't hold them up to, because God is the one, He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all answers. So y'all just remember them. And I know Brother Roel and all the different ones, you know, I think about, you know, different ones that have been sick, and you see, that, you know, people have different issues and things going on, but just want to hold them up in prayer, and because God is a prayer answering God.
Amen.
And the thing is, you keep holding them up for God, because God said, ask and you shall receive. So we're just going to, you know, take him at his word. So God bless you. Now we're going to look in the scripture, Matthew chapter 1, a very familiar scripture. And I titled this, That It Might Be Fulfilled, which is part of the scripture here in the reading. And we're going to, tonight I want to look at the life of Jesus, but I want to look at the birth of and the prophecies. And I want to, with God's help, I want to look at something. Because I want to read something that Brother Brown said. Because we understand that, you know, many times people look and they say, well, God spoke to Peter and Peter had a revelation. Well, that didn't remove all of Peter's doubts. That didn't remove all of Peter's confusion. You know, but he did have a revelation. So I just want to look at this, that it might be fulfilled, the scripture, looking at the Old Testament prophecies in the life of Jesus. And just in the first part of, you know, his life, because I don't want to, there's so many things to get into, and I just want to cover this part. I don't want to be long tonight, but just share a few things with you, and then maybe we'll pick this up some other time. But y'all just pray for me tonight, and the Lord just have his way with us tonight. So let's just all bow our heads and speak to the author tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, that we have another opportunity to come in your house. Father, that we can come and, Lord, just open our hearts to you, Lord. Lord, that we may receive from you what you'd have for us. Lord, we've sung the songs of Zion, Lord. We've prepared ourselves for this time, Lord. And Lord, we just want you to have the preeminence in the service, Lord, that you come and speak to each heart and each life. Father, for the ones that are watching in, Lord, I pray that you be with them, touch each one that's sick and afflicted, the reason they couldn't be here, whatever it may be. Father, you be with them. Lord, for the ones that have needs, Lord, the ones that have been read, Lord, for each hand that's been raised tonight, Lord, and Lord, that many have unspoken requests, Father, but we pray that you minister in a special way, Lord. We don't ever want to remember, just to forget those things, Lord, but we always want to be mindful of them, Lord. Lord, as a body of believers, Lord, we bind together, Lord, and claim the promises. Lord, you said that we would ask that our joy might be full, Lord. Lord, as many of the sicknesses and afflictions, Lord, many different things that are going, people have questions and problems, Lord. Lord, but we know that you're the answer to all the questions, Lord. And Father, we just commit all things to you. Lord, bless your ministers around the world, Lord, so many that are, Lord, and we think about the ones in the foreign countries, Afghanistan and the different ones, Father, that are trying to proclaim the word, trying to proclaim the message, and we say all the problems that the enemy is rising up against them, Lord. But Lord, you said when the enemy would come in like a flood, he said you'd raise up a standard against them, Lord. Lord, we stand with them. Find our faith with them. And Lord, you just strengthen them. Bless us tonight, Lord. Give us the words, Lord. I can study, Lord. I can write notes, but it takes you to come and speak to each heart. And Lord, we just commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, very familiar scripture. It says, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. God bless you tonight. You have your seats. And I want to speak. And looking at this, and you know, God has always wanted to make himself known.
Amen.
And everything that he's done is to make himself known. It's, you know, he dwelt alone, but when he created man, he wanted to reveal himself in the fullness.
Amen.
in all things and let, reveal the, you know, who he was in the essence of him.
Amen.
Make himself known. And when he began to do that, he had to speak to prophets. There was an essential part in that, you know, he wrote three Bibles. We know he wrote one in the heavens. We know that was the pyramid. But he began to speak to man. And he wanted man to know. He wanted to speak to man to let him know who he was and his fullness. But you know, when he began to speak, as Brother Wade was speaking the other day, you know, when you look at when God began to speak in Amos 3, when he said he would do nothing except he would reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. When he began to speak, see, when Brother Bram said this great mystery secret that God had from the foundation of the world, he had this thing that he wanted to make known. Well, when he began to speak to the prophets began to see these things. But then when they began to write about it, see, when Nahum was there and he saw the chariots jostling in the streets and the running with lanterns and running like lightning and all these things, well, he could express it in the words that he knew. And but he couldn't express cars because he had never seen that. But he began to express that. Now see, it was a secret to Nahum. When he saw that thing, just like when Isaiah stood there and said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now that was what God spoke to Isaiah. Now he saw this and he began to speak it. But the problem is just like many times Brother Brown talking about the prophets, you know, they had to stop and say, well, you know, where'd that come from? Because even in their own speaking, they didn't have full understanding of what they were speaking. But they spoke what God gave them to speak.
Amen.
They didn't have all the answers. They didn't understand everything, but they spoke what God gave them.
Amen.
So when he begins to speak, the secret was when he began to make it known, even in the heavens and everything that he began to do, he was revealing it, but it was a secret. But that was also a part of a revelation because he began to reveal himself. He began to unveil himself.
Right.
But the problem is as he began to unveil himself, that created a mystery.
Yeah.
Because if Brother Wade and I have a secret, until I begin to speak of that, nobody else knows about it but me and Brother Wade.
Right.
There's a secret between us. So when he began to speak to them, then they had to speak. Well, they began to speak. Well, what they began to speak made no sense to some people. Because that created the mystery. But he began to unveil himself, and he began to unveil himself all through the prophets. As the scripture said, the prophets built the body. Well, as they began to speak the word, then they started to walk in the light. He began to make himself known in the prophets. So as he began to unveil himself through the prophets, yet people didn't see that. How many people understood that when Moses walked and he began to speak, that was God veiled in flesh? No, that was just that ornery guy that pushed us around and made our lives miserable. They just saw a man in flesh. Why? Because if Miriam... Well, she would just become common. Moses just become common to her. It was just her brother. It was just a common person. And Aaron in the same situation. that they would say something against Moses and not realizing he was the anointed prophet. Then what happened? See, God come back to Miriam and rebuked her for saying against the prophet. Now to her, it's just her brother. But to God, see, it was an important office. And she did not honor the office of the prophet. So she didn't see, so many times they, you know, as Jesus began to speak later on, you know, he's like, you know, how many of the prophets that you didn't kill? But you honor their sepulchers and all these things, but you killed them. You stood against them. You didn't stay with their word. But now, years later, when they look back, oh, what a great prophet Jeremiah was. You know, what a great prophet Isaiah was. But when you look at the forefathers, when he turned back, when Jesus began to point them back to their fathers and their forefathers, he said, look what, they didn't honor Moses. They didn't honor any of these things. And as time progressed, we see how things began to open, and because of them not staying with the word, they created their own denomination. Now, Brother Branham said here, and he said, why am I against organized religion? He said, so see, Nicodemus's organization understanding meant nothing to God. Now, no matter if he was a big shot, as we call it in the organization, a master in Israel, of all his learning and understanding, it didn't mean that when he stood before Christ, only a rebuke to him. Now, I imagine all the people say, Holy Father Nicodemus, Holy Father Nicodemus, we bow to you, sir. But when Jesus, he stood before God, he rebuked him for his ignorance. So you see what all that goes to, forget it. Come on, let's go to God. That's right, all right. Neither did Korah's great understanding mean anything, or Adam's, each denying God's vindicated message. Now, let's listen close. Now, we're going to get in some high waters in a minute. See, each one of them, the reason that they got in trouble, Nicodemus, Korah, Nimrod, and so forth, is because they didn't recognize God's messenger with the vindicated word of that day. Now, anyone knows that? Now, we can say that a long time. But God predicts and says a certain thing will take place. Man makes organization. Gets man set just exactly. They believe that there was a coming Messiah. Oh, them Jews. Oh, my sure. But when Jesus come the way he did, they said, that can't be him. They fail to understand the word. Now, Jesus didn't come contrary to the word, did he? But he come contrary to the organization interpretation of the word. Moses didn't come contrary to the word, but he come exactly with the word. But Korah failed to see it, and all down through, it's that way. And he says, now look, this message of the day just can't be something saying, we got the truth and we got this and that. He said, it has to be foretold in his word. Then after the word is brought forth, it has to be properly vindicated by the word. Amen. Jesus was properly vindicated of God by the word. He said, if you had known Moses, you'd have known me, known of my day. Well, did the prophets speak of him? Well, all the prophets said what he was, and yet it blinded them. They couldn't understand it, see. But Jesus was, now I want to say this for the tape and for you, see, the messenger with the message of the day. Now, some of y'all probably have some idea of where I want to go with all this. But I want to lay a background looking at the life of Jesus. Because when you see the life of Jesus and you see there's so many things that when you begin to study all of the things that when Jesus came and all of the things of the scripture and the Jews and, I mean, you know, Brother Branham said one time, he was talking about, you know, he said, we got 900 denominations. And he said, you know, the Pharisees, they had like four or five, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the religious Jews of the day, they all had their own way. He said, when he began to prophesy and when the scripture began to speak and they began to speak of John coming, that there would be a forerunner to Jesus before the Messiah would come. Now, when they began to speak and he would say that he was going to come, but yet when they looked, they were looking for somebody great because of all the scriptures that the Old Testament prophets and all of the religious leaders had read. There was nothing in the life of John that fulfilled any of the scriptures. He didn't fulfill any of that. But he fulfilled the scriptures, but it took, because, you know, when you're looking, they were looking forward to the prophecies. But it takes looking back, because Jesus spent all of his time pointing them back to the scripture, showing that the scriptures had already been fulfilled. Because how many times did they stand there, and even when they asked Jesus about Elijah coming, and he said, you know, we thought Elijah would come, and he said, he shall surely come, but I tell you, he's already come. And then they perceived by what he said, then they realized that he was speaking of John. John had come and fulfilled the scripture, but they didn't see that. Cleopas and them on the road to Emmaus, when they began to speak, the whole time of the word. In the presence of the word. And they didn't realize what was going on. And they, when Jesus began to speak to them and tell them, shouldn't all these things have taken place? Didn't you hear these things? Didn't you know these things? And yet they were dull of hearing. They were blind. And he spent all that time beginning to speak to them. But when the word came, so as the prophecies began to unfold for Jesus to come, there were many that didn't see those things because he said, you know, they had been taught all of these things by the religious leaders of the day. And Brother Branham says in the message, the Evening Messenger, he says, now take for instance Jesus. This is quote number two, brothers. He said, let's take for instance Jesus, how hard it was for him to come and change the message from law to grace. Yet the Bible said it would come that way. There'd come a Messiah and the daily sacrifice would be taken away. Now we know it was prophesied through the prophets. What a great thing it was for him to do that. But we find that he did it. And he did it because the scripture said, and the believers of that day, so-called believers, absolutely would not agree with him. Look at all those Pharisees and Sadducees. They had their own traditions, and not one's going to shake them from it. That's what they believed. Their mother believed that. Their daddy believed that. And their grandpa, grandma believed that. And Moses said so. But the same Moses that gave the law was the same Moses said this guy would come, and they failed to recognize it because they had got the true word of God in traditions and had left off the main principle of it. And it had to be that way. So when they began to speak, but they had their own traditions. They had their own ideas about how things would be. But it was, you know, as the prophets began to speak to the people. See, each time the prophets came, and each time they came, they pointed the people back to the prophecies that had already come and began to speak to the people about what had been spoken and trying to point them back and tell them, y'all have erred. And how many times did he raise them, like Jeremiah and the different ones, God raised them up and tell them, you go speak to them and tell them. When he began to speak to them, he said, you have left me, the fountain of living water. And he said, you have hewed out cisterns. He said, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, you know, how silly is a person when you come to a place, when you're seeing, you have left an artesian well of living water. And God began to speak back to that living water the whole time. And he told them, he said, y'all have hewed out your own cisterns. He said, you're dry, you have no water, you have nothing. But he said, well, keep pointing you back. Just as the children of Israel was with Moses and he began to lead them, he told them, listen, I'll bring you out by a strong hand. When he began to bring the children of Israel out of bondage, they thought, how are we going to come out? But you know, they had enough faith to believe in what God said. They stood there with their shoes on, with their staff in their hand, and eating that lamb that had been cooked, complete whole. You know, it always amazed me when he talks about how they cooked, you know, he said they couldn't separate anything, they had to cook it whole. Well, you know, the entrails and all that kind of stuff is in there when you cook that thing. It might not have been the greatest smelling food you ever had in front of you. But you know what? It spoke of the entire word, the fullness of the word had come that they were supposed to eat. They were to eat of that word, and then they were supposed to come, and then at the midnight, they were at the time they were supposed to leave. He said, when the death angel come through, he said it was going to destroy them. He said, but you'll come out of this. He said, why? Because you've marked the door. So when you've marked the door, then you have a protection. Why? Because you followed the word. So when you followed the word, then when the death angel passed, he could not touch them. But the ones that didn't have faith, that didn't believe, then it was death. But then it was all the time that they come out. And as they began to come out of bondage, then here's this amazing thing that, you know, Pharaoh didn't want them to leave. But you know what? They were able to leave. But you know, the first hiccup they had, the first little problem they had, and they all fell apart. Even Moses did. He's out there going, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, why Christ thou to me? Speak and go forward. He said, you've been anointed. You've been called. You've been brought to this place. So if you've been brought to this, then why are you crying to me? He said, you know what to do. So then he began to speak and do the things that God told him to do, that it was time for him to go. And they crossed over. But then when they crossed over the Red Sea, then when they come over, then in the midst of all that, then they looked back and saw their enemies coming. It's like, well, you know what? We're not getting in. I thought we was going to get away from them. Here they come. Where are we going to go now? Well, you know what? They didn't wait on God. See, they should have been up there rejoicing. Why? Because they were getting ready. They were looking at destruction. Their enemy was going to be destroyed right in front of them. But they were saying, oh, I don't know how we're going to get through this. Do you see all that? That big cloud of smoke or dust coming up from those chariots. Here they come. And you know, they're so worried. Well, what are we going to do now, Moses? Look at them. But what'd he say? Stand still. See the salvation of God. Then when they saw their enemies destroyed, you know, then they had Pentecostal revival. They were rejoicing. But I mean, they couldn't see the miracle that God had done for them. But the next time they had a problem, they wanted to come and argue with Moses. It's like, y'all remember the Red Sea miracle, army getting killed? You remember that? Well, that's what God done yesterday. We don't know what he's going to do today. But he promised them that he'd take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. It's like, out here in the wilderness, are you in the land of milk and honey? No. Well, guess what? You still got to go. He didn't leave them. Just in the Old Testament, when you began to look, when he made the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, as the Scripture calls it. When you see the Ark of the Testimony, what was it about the Ark of the Testimony? What was that? That was not only was it a rebuke to them, but it was a monument. It was a token to them of what God had done for them. Why? Because he brought them through, and he fed them, and he brought them through. And they wanted to argue who was going to lead us? Who was going to lead us? Well, they put all the rods in before the Ark of the Covenant in the holy place. And guess what? Aaron's rod budded. The rest of them didn't. But it was a supernatural event to the people. but he showed who he had called. It was a supernatural. So when they had Aaron's rod that had budded and the almonds, it was showing that God had done a supernatural event to them. He had done the supernatural when he fed rained manna down from heaven every single day, and they went out and they gathered every man to their fullness, and they never went hungry. But he took an omer of that and he put it in there, and every time the priest would come up and he would enter into the priesthood, he could go in there and eat that. But it was a testimony to them. Amen. And the tablets of God speaking the word to them. God spoke to the word. And what was it? It was God in letter form, but they thought they were just getting rules. They did not see that it was a supernatural happening. Right. Moses is in the mountain and God's speaking to him, and he's writing the word in the tablets, and they're down there messing with a golden calf. But he began to speak to them. Oh, they thought, well, God had left us out here. We're out here. Moses in the mountain. He's gone. What are we going to do? Well, we got to get it. We got to start a denomination out here. We got to have our own. Yeah. Well, they got away from God. And God was, you know, stay where you are. God, you're right where you need to be. Right. But not to them. They had, oh, we got to work out. We get nervous. And here they are. They're going right out and getting into these things. Turning their back on the word. And yet God laid that testimony out there, the ark. And he said, listen, he said it was a rebuke to them because they did not believe the word. But it was a rebuke to them because God followed them all the way through. He carried them all the way through. He blessed them all the way through. But they were the ones that turned him down. He didn't turn them down. And it's the same thing. Brothers and sisters, you know, we have been so blessed. This is from the message, presuming. It's number 3. He said, when John came to introduce which was the right way, the Pharisees had their way, Sadducees had their way, the publicans had their way, different ones had their way, their denominations or organizations. John didn't go to any of their schools. He went in the wilderness and waited. He studied the word. The first thing you know, God told him out there in the wilderness that this Messiah would have a sign following him, as he always did, what he talked about last night. So John waited. He didn't join any of them. He just waited till he was sure. He didn't presume anything. He said, no, wait, see, there's the Pharisees. They're good people. They're holiness people. Why, sure, that's all right. I presume they're all right. That wasn't God. See, John waited for the sign. John waited till he was sure. See, certainly did. He didn't presume. He waited till he was sure he had seen the true sign of the Messiah. Yep. He said, Nathan, as soon as he, as irritable as he could be, see, he just said, no, I don't believe it. I have to see it. When he got up there and seen it was the Messiah, he was satisfied then. He said he didn't presume. He just waited till he'd seen it. Amen. So each one of them, so they had their own way. They had their own ways of seeing things. But God had spoken to them through the prophets. But instead of waiting like John did, John waited. He didn't understand it, but he saw what was given to him, that the Messiah would be there with a sign. Right. But you had to wait on him to give the revelation. He said he waited for the sign to take place. He knew what was going to take place. And then when that took place, then he would know who was the one. But see, when you go back and study the prophecies, and you know, many times what we look at the denominational world that we live today, and even the message in and around this message, and we see so many things that people believe and preach, and it's like, you know, I mean, people will believe things that's not even in the scripture, and things that are even contrary to things that Brother Branham said in black and white. But what is it? They don't hold to because it's like, well, they've got to presume, they got to try to answer these questions. No, you wait on God. Right. I don't try to figure these things out. Because God didn't tell us to figure it out. He told us to believe it. Because if you believe these things, then it be made known to you. And as he began, he was speaking to the disciples, you know, he said, if you believe these things, he said, then greater things you'll see. But you have to believe these things and wait on God, because at the right time, God will let these things be made known. And you know, when I began to look at these things, and you see the situation and the history of a lot of the things that are spoken of the prophets and the Messiah, and a lot of the Jewish understanding. You know, many times people, that's the reason I was struck by what Brother Bram was talking about. He said, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, they all had their own way of things, the way they done things, what they believed. And you know, even down through history, you go back and you start to read all of the writings of the prophets, of the rabbis. And you think that we live in a screwed up mess. And then you begin to see that even the rabbis had their problems. I mean, it was so many, because when you go back and you start to look, because the scripture tells us one of the biggest problems that the Jews had is that because the Jews, when they saw the writings of, when you look at the writings of the Messiah, the writings of the Messiah have to do with a mighty conqueror. You know, because, you know, when you start to, if you go back and look, and as, you know, he talks about Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So when they began to speak of the Messiah, they saw a mighty conqueror. That's all they saw, because when they were looking forward to the prophecies, that's all they saw. Because there was lots of prophecies that were given that they don't attribute to the Messiah. Because all they saw was a mighty conqueror. Because when Moses stood up and said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me, then they looked forward to a mighty conqueror. And when they look at the scriptures of David, he said he was set on the throne of David. Well, they're looking for a mighty conqueror. He said the government shall be upon his shoulders. And he said upon his kingdom, he said there shall be no end. So when they began to look, that's all they saw was a mighty conqueror. There's coming a day where we will rule the world. Our God will be the God of this, of the world. There will be a kingdom set up that will establish peace and prosperity and all these things all throughout the world. And that's what they're looking for. That's all they see. When they begin to look forward to see. And so you look at all the scriptures, that's all they can see is a mighty conqueror. But they don't see the rest of it. And so when they begin to argue, there's many scriptures that you look at in the writings of the rabbis all the way back through history. You know, they all had some odd ideas about things. In Genesis 3:15, it says, I will put my enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now they attribute to, when you go back and read some of that, do you know they attribute that to Adam and his descendants? They don't attribute that to one person. And even in some of the categories, when you begin to look at the writings, and they even have some rabbis in the past when they began to speak of these things, and they would say, well, what about this? And what about that? Do you know that some rabbis actually believe there to be two messiahs? Why? Because they said, well, the one messiah has to be the mighty conqueror, but the other one will suffer. It's like, have you, you know, and it's like, you wonder why, Brother, I'm talking about there was 900 different denominations, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all them, they all had their own ways of looking at things. Why? Because they couldn't wrap their mind around that the Messiah would come. Like when Brother Bram was speaking to the rabbi that day and he asked him about Isaiah 9:6. See, when he began to look at that, you know, he said, well, tell me what part of it he didn't fulfill.
Right.
See, when they began to look at the scripture, see, they saw that mighty conqueror.
Amen.
But there was a lot of things in the scripture they couldn't put together. But instead of just waiting on God to show these things, what did they do? They started making their own denominations. And then one says, well, it's this way. And one says, it's that way. And then they don't need to even attribute Genesis 3:15 to the Messiah. And then when you begin to look at all these things, I mean, they're over the years that they've come up with all these ideas. And no wonder when you begin to look at all these things that were written, one of the things that some of them were writing about was that the Messiah didn't even have to be born of a virgin. Some of them believe, hey, as long as he was born and he was anointed the Messiah. So when you begin to gather about these things, and even today, the Jews, there's groups of Jews that don't even believe they ought to be in the homeland. They're against being in Palestine. They don't even believe, because they don't believe that they should be there until the Messiah comes. So when you begin to look at all these different things, and even when it comes to the scriptures of Daniel, Daniel 9, when you begin to read some of the writings of the Daniel 9, and even then they don't even attribute that to the Messiah. And some of the writings that were written, they attribute to other people. They didn't even attribute that to, and they were talking about all these different ones that come through. And one of the problems that they had was they couldn't understand the 70 weeks because they couldn't understand it because they couldn't line up the 483 years. But they have all these groups, and one says, well, I believe it's this one, and I believe it's that one. And you know, they are so convinced of what they believe that you know that they said that the prophet was wrong when he gave the dates and the years and the weeks. They are so convinced of what they believe that they stand there and say that none of this is correct. Because it's spiritual time, it's not natural years. And some of them sit there and they're trying to figure this thing out and say, well, some of them don't believe it's 30 days to a month. And that's a Jewish law. That's a Jewish calendar to have 30 days in the, I mean, that's Jewish law. And yet they have all these things and they try to prop these different things. Why? Because they don't understand it. And so when you begin to read some of these things and you wonder why. When you begin to see all these things, when the scriptures begun to come, if people had been taught all these things and everybody was confused on all these different things, then when he said, when Jesus came, he said, you're not it because you don't fit the scripture. But what did Brother Bram said? He said, it's because you didn't fit their organization or their interpretation of the word. You didn't fit their interpretation of the word, not what was spoken. Why? Because they keep looking forward, but they can't understand why. Because it takes God to give the revelation, and then when he began to point back to the scriptures, then he begins to open up, and he began to see the revelation of it. And it takes God to do that. But see, they were so confused on all these things and what was going to take place. And when Jesus began to speak to the disciples, and he began to express all these things that he had spoken of himself. And yet, they were so confused on all these things and were still waiting on these things because that's all they were gripped by. Because here he was, and he began to speak to them of all these scriptures. And he began to point them back. And he began to speak, even when he spoke to the Pharisees, and he began to expound on the parables of the scripture. And he began to open up the scriptures and he began to speak and rebuke, and then the Pharisees couldn't give him an answer. And they said, why do you speak to them in parables? So they don't understand. But he said, it's given to you to know the mysteries. And so when they came, they said, well, please explain us to the parable of the sower. Please explain us the parables. So then he began to express the parables. So when they began to look back, He began to show them all the things that they had seen. Then they was like, oh, we understand that. But in the, but when it comes to, after his resurrection, when he was risen and he was about to leave them, then the first thing that come out of their mouth, is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And what did he say? It's not, this is not the time for you to know these times. It's not for you to know these things. He said, but the one thing that I'm going to tell you, the one thing that you will know of the things that you've known and I've breathed on you to receive the Holy Ghost. He said, you shall receive power. Amen. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. And he said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea. And he said, even the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. So you'll be witnesses of me. But you won't know these things. But he said, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he said, he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. So the thing is they held on. So when Peter stood there and Matthew in 16, when Jesus was speaking to Peter and to the disciples and he asked them, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? When he began to ask them, well, we've heard all kinds of stuff. You're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. You're somebody. But who do you say that I am? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's what God, Jesus said, blessed aren't you, Peter, because God has revealed this to you.
Amen.
This is what God has revealed to you.
Amen.
And he said, listen, he said, that's what we're going to build the church on.
Amen.
He said, upon this rock, a revelation, what God showed you. He said, that's what we're going to build the church on.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When we see all the scriptures that were written all the way through the scripture, and he began to speak of all the things that had taken place, yet he wanted them to know these things, but he began to speak to them. And you know, even when he rose from the dead, and you know, he was standing there and the ladies had went to the sepulcher to prepare the body. And he come and he told them, listen, he's risen. And they couldn't believe it. So we can't believe what? He rose from the dead. And the Bible tells us, he said, and they remembered his words. Yep. After all these things, and they began to remember the words that he had spoken to them. And so, you know, all the way through the scripture, we began to see these things that God had been speaking to the people, and yet they didn't see these things. Even when we go back, you know, you think of those that, you know, they were the devout people that were looking for these things, and yet when the things began to unfold to them, they didn't see it. You know what amazed me is you look at the scripture in the scripture of Jesus, and we see that here these men. They, Brother Ram, talking about the magi's and, you know, the great men, they spent all of their time studying the stars. They studied all of the sky and they knew everything. They knew what was going to take place. When they saw those supernatural things take place in the sky, they knew something was going to take place. And they come all of that way, traveling for years to get to Jesus. And when they got there, then they said, where is he that was born King of the Jews? Now what? Now listen, we go to the synagogue every day. We got Rabbi so-and-so preaching to us all the time. What do you mean you got some hoodooies out here come in there talking about the, where is he born King of the Jews? What? What are you talking about? We don't know nothing about this. But they began to expound what God had showed them, what he had showed those magi.
Right.
And something had quickened in them so much for them to journey all that way.
Right.
I wasn't going around the corner.
Right.
I wasn't going across town.
Right.
As long, arduous journeys. Cold, heat, robbers. You never know what those men had to face all the way.
Right.
But something struck them. And they went all this way. And here are these people, good-hearted, honest people. And they come in there, and when Mary had heard, when Gabriel had spoke to her, she knew, she had a revelation. She knew what had taken place. Joseph knew what had taken place. They had an angel visitation. It was supernatural to them. They knew what took place. But you know what? A lot of people didn't believe that. They didn't follow that. And you know what? There was a lot of days she probably didn't want to go out in public. When you have everybody that runs you down, and you know, when they, like Brother Brown talked about, you know, when he was a young man and walked down the sidewalk, people would walk on the other side of the sidewalk, you know, across the street because they didn't want to walk beside him. And here's Mary fulfilling God's word, and they didn't want to have anything to do with her. And she walked and had to go through all that ridicule and all those things. But you know what? She knew what was in what had taken place, what God had showed her, what Joseph. But when all of a sudden, one of these days, these men come in. No doubt they probably looked a little funny, probably looked a little different. If they come from a far country, they probably didn't dress like people in Bethlehem or wherever, you know, Nazareth, Galilee, wherever. They probably didn't dress the way they did. Probably had a little bit different speak language. But when they walked in there that day and they saw that young child, after they'd come all that way and they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When you think about what Mary had heard and what the scriptures had said, because when, you know, when Gabriel had spoke to her, when she went back and started reading the Old Testament prophets, what Isaiah, and it became a brand new book to her. It was illuminated. Well, everybody else is looking forward, but you know what? She's starting to see these things open up. And then when she saw that he shall save his people from their sins. Well, if she understood what the gifts were that were brought by the wise men, when you saw those gifts, when they were bringing those things in, no doubt it stirred something in that mother's heart to see men from a far country bring in, and it was gold, deity dedicated to death. The gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And if she understood what those things represented, you know it had to touch her to see those things. When Jesus had reached the eighth day and they took him into the temple, and, you know, Simeon said, I won't pass until I see the Lord's Christ. And she was standing in that temple. And no doubt some people wouldn't look at her. And you know, she was the off scour of the earth, you know. But soon as she walked into that temple that day, the Holy Spirit began to speak to Simeon. The fulfillment of the prophecy is here. And it meant something to Simeon. And everybody else, well, he's got one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel. You know, he's a good man, but you know, he's starting to slip a little bit. You know, we just humor him, you know. But when he walked out there that day and took that little baby in his arms and he stood there and held it. Oh my goodness. Thank God my eyes have seen thy salvation. It didn't mean anything else to other people. People just stood there and looked at him. He done lost his mind. What's going on here? And then Anna began to prophesy of who he was and what he was supposed to do. It didn't mean to other people. They just saw this act. They just saw these things. It didn't mean anything. But it spoke something to Mary. Because she had walked all this time in those things, but then she began to see these things open up. And it's the same way. See, these things have begun to open up. The world is not called to these things. But it's more precious than gold.
Amen.
So when we see these things, they were written in the scripture to know, and it's now time for these things to be fulfilled.
Amen.
You know, I went to my aunt's funeral Monday, and the preacher was up and he was speaking of the things, and he said, you know, we don't understand all things. Paul said we don't see. We see through like a glass darkly. We don't see all these things. But he said, we know what Paul said. We know what God said. And so it's not for us to understand these things. But he said he's given these things. He's for us to believe them. For us to trust in God when we see these things. And he began to speak all the things through the scripture, and there were certain things that he began, but he was talking about my aunt passed away and she had dementia. That's not what killed her, but she passed away from it. She suffered with it for a number of years. But, you know, he was talking about, you know, we only see so much while we're here. But he said, then as time progressed, she didn't know. She knew less and less. And then she was in her own little world. She didn't know her own family. She didn't know anything. But he said, there's a beautiful day coming. He said, when she crossed over, she had complete understanding.
Amen.
There was a place that she went to.
Amen.
That God began to show her these things. Amen. He said, I don't know. He said, I can tell you what the scripture says. And he said, I believe the scriptures. He stood there and he said, I don't know if God's coming to take this body, these elements that's in this casket. I don't know if he's going to take these out or if he'll just create a body out of elements. But he said, I know we're going to have a glorified body.
Amen.
He said, I don't understand all the scriptures. He said, but I know we're going to be called up. We're going to meet each other and we're going to meet him in the air.
Amen.
He said, I don't know how all that's going to work out or all the... He said, we all got questions. We don't, because we read things. But he said, there's a day coming. We're going to have complete understanding.
Amen.
And you know, the thing is each day God wants to reveal something to you.
Amen.
And you know, it's, you know, sometimes it takes a long time. We read the same thing over and over and over. And you know, we have our own thoughts, our own ideas about things. Because when you read something as a human, it automatically creates a picture in your mind. When you hear things, all things automatically kick in your mind. But then there comes a time that it has to be made known. As Peter said, you know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. But he said, when I became a man, he said, I had to put childish things away. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. But you know, we trust in God. But you know, there's a blessing because he said a real true eagle will understand.
Amen.
Peter and all of the disciples, here they are walking in the midst of all this confusion and all the things that had happened and all the things that they saw. But you know what? They held on to what God had revealed to them.
Amen.
And let's just hold to what God has revealed to us.
Amen.
Let's let the musicians stand. Come, let's have a stand. Let's sing that song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Because, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to build our hopes. And not just hopes, but, you know, because it's a hope. Because Brother Ram said, our faith, the majority of our faith is a mental faith.
Yep, you're right.
But he said, when the word is poured into that mental faith, he said, it becomes a spiritual revelation. Hold on to the things that God has said to you. We know these things. And he said, hold on. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Amen.
Because we may not know what things are going to happen, but we know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
I was speaking to somebody the other day, and we was talking about how things have happened, and we don't see the future, and a lot of questions. And I told him, I said, I ain't got no worries about things. I know what it was. I was talking to somebody about the COVID shot. And I said, well, I ain't planning on taking it. But if I had to, I'd take it. I told him, I said, I got confidence in God. I said, you know what? He's brought me 47 years. I've made it this long. And you know, you can say, well, it was mom and daddy and all this stuff. You know what? It was God that got me here. God, it's been the grace of God. I got 47 years. You know, all the different ones that have been here, you know, many, many years, the, you know, 80 plus years and all that. It's been God that's got us here. You know, because the scripture says, you know, grace has brought us this far and grace will lead us home. I said, God's brought me this far. He's 47 years I've made it. And I said, everything that's come and gone, God's always been my deliverer. He's always been my way maker. He's always been my physician. But if I told him, I said, but if I had a job that required me to take the shot, you know what I told him? I said, Brother Dale always tells us when we get medicine, he said, come get you a prayer cloth and take it. He said, go put it in your medicine cabinet. He said, do the doctor's program. Well, if it could push come to shove where I had to, then you know what? I'd take it. Because you know what? There's no weapon formed against me that'll prosper. But you know what? If I don't take the shot, it's still no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The devil can't touch me unless God allows him to. I'm not where I've made it this far. You know, there's things when you look back at your life, you shouldn't be here. And you wonder why things have happened in your life and they worked out the way they did. And many times we wonder, you know, it looks like a mess. And never did understand why things happened. And when we look back, then we begin to see, you know, it's been the hand of God that's brought us all the way through there. When we didn't see the blessings of God, when we were looking forward at things, when we're going through things, we don't see the blessings of God. When we get to look back and see what God's done, then we've seen that God's brought us through. So if something comes my way, then you know what? He's still the one that's in control. You know, none of us are promised to make it through the night. But you know what? I got confidence in God that if I left this world, I got a place to go to. All I can do is put trust in Him. He's brought me this far. He's the one that called me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? I have failed Him. And you know, you look and see, sometimes you look to be an unprofitable servant. But you know what? There's still grace there. There's still grace. No matter how far you go, if you're a son or a daughter of God, there's always grace. God's always calling you back. Sometimes we wonder, it's just so amazing to us what God has done for us. Amen. But you know what? I have trust in God. I can't trust nothing else. The world is falling apart. There's nothing you can put trust in. You know, we worried about silver and gold and houses and lands and properties and all these things. It's all cannon fodder. It's all going to be burned up one day. You know, when God comes back, you know, He's not going to live in this filthy world. He's not going to have any part of this. Many times we get worried about and frustrated about things that happen. One of these days it's all going to be... The former things will be past. And it will never come into our remembrance. So we just live day by day and trust Him. Amen. God bless you. Now we're going to sing Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. I'm singing.
hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Build our hopes
on things eternal. And hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling.
I'm singing,
oh, to God's unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Hopes on things eternal, and oh, to God's unchanging hand. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasure. I'm singing hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal, and hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view.
I'm singing,
hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Yes, hold to God's unchanging hand.
Amen. When our journey is completed, we don't know when our journey is going to be completed. But you know what? God gives somebody a commission. Somebody's going to walk all the way to a body change. He said, you know, Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. You know, there's a journey for us to go. And that's what we say. Our journey's going to be completed one of these days. There's a group that's going to be waiting here. That's not going to hinder those that have passed on. So we're fighting that fight. We're going to continue to believe, trust God, hold to God's unchanging hand. All right. God bless you tonight. And we're going to turn over to Brother Wade. He's got some announcements and everything. So God bless you.
Let's give our brother a good hand. Good job. Amen. Just a few little announcements before we go. Remember to sign up sheet downstairs for the putt-putt on September the 17th. That's going to be a Friday night from 7 to 9 o'clock. That will be in Oakwood. The address is down on the refrigerator, so just remember that. Also, Bible Tabernacle, which is Brother Joe Green and Brother Nathaniel Green there in Ruth, North Carolina. They're having their 25th annual youth banquet. Brother Andrew Spencer will be speaking. That will actually start on the 17th, which is when we're going to go putt-putt. But I called Nathaniel, and they're going to have service on Sunday, but not Saturday. It's going to be just fun, food, and fellowship, outdoor and indoor activities. He said we could just, if we wanted to bring a group or some of y'all wanted to go, you could just show up on Saturday and is $25 or $35, but that's if you go to the banquet on Friday night, which we won't be able to go to the banquet on Friday night because we're going to be going playing putt-putt. So there won't be any charge for Saturday or Sunday if y'all would like to go. And there's more information up here. That will be on the 17th, 18th, and 19th. So just remember that and keep it in your prayers. Also, we're still working on a weekend that we're going to somewhere around September the 12th or even the 19th. We may move it up to the 12th where we'll just have a afternoon. We won't have an afternoon service, but we'll have a testimony and singing service. I think we need to get into the mood of worship also. We need to have a good balance. It'll be a real good time for any song leader to bring some new songs. And if you wanted to bring a testimony, then you bring a testimony. We'll just do that for our second service, maybe on the 12th, maybe on the 19th. If y'all decide to go to, on the 19th, we may do it on the 12th. It'll be the afternoon service on that Sunday, maybe the 12th or the 19th. So just keep that in your prayers. That's some stuff that's coming up. Keep everybody in prayer. We've got a lot. Man, if you're not praying without ceasing now, you got a problem.
Right.
We got calls coming in from everybody across the country and all the different places that are sick and needy. And man, those people in Tennessee that lost all their homes, you know, I don't know if there was any believers in that, but that, it doesn't matter. They were human beings.
Amen. Right.
So that a lot of them, they still hadn't found them yet. You could just see their houses floating down a river. Now think of a bad day. You've had bad days, but you never had a bad day when you watch your house come off of its foundation and go 10 miles down a river. And your loved ones are in that house.
Right.
So you just keep those people in your prayers. We sometimes we say, well, were they believers? It really doesn't matter.
Right.
They're human beings.
Right.
They're human beings that's going to go through something that hopefully, by God's grace, you won't have to go through.
Right.
But your prayer may help somebody get through something.
Yeah.
And we'll, it's not going to make their day better, but you know what? If you send the Holy Ghost there, it's like, today, Brother Royal's daughter sent a clip of me and him hugging and praising the Lord when we were there. I was in the Philippines the last time with Brother Royal, and I said, well, you just send him a message and tell him that I hope we can do that very, very soon, is hug each other. But you know what? When I got off the phone, I just took my hands in at the steering wheel, and I just did this right here, and I hugged him by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't have to be there, but I hope he felt those hugs.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost knows no boundaries.
Right. Yeah, right.
And I hope he felt that. And he's doing better.
Amen.
He's doing better. So we're fighting with him, folks. I'm telling you,
amen.
Fight with him.
Amen.
When you see those numbers go bad, you know what? Punch harder.
That's right.
Amen. We're going to get through this thing.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We're going to get through this thing. We're going to punch our way through this thing. And somebody is going to have a revival.
Amen.
And I believe it's us. So remember, go downstairs and put your name on the pup. It's for everybody, all age groups, from 7 to 9 on the September the 17th, which is on a Friday night. You can just go get you something to eat before 7. And then at 7 o'clock, they're going to put us in groups so we can play. And I think we'll have the thing by ourselves, right, June? I think so. They close at 7, so I think they're going to let us have it from like 7 to 9. And give us a good deal on the rounds, and then they'll have ice cream there for us to eat that the church will purchase for you, and they'll pay for all that. So, and also remember, Brother Andrew, there in September the 25th and 26th. Remember that's coming up. We got some things coming. We want to stay active. We need to really pray for this October meeting that they're having that the youth are already signed up to go to. We want to make sure that thing's open and stays open, that they can go to that. New camp there, and it's going to be really exciting. I really appreciate Brother Watkins from coming all the way down there, coming up here, and getting it closer to us so that we can have a youth banquet that's really close within an hour. So, Lord bless you and keep everybody in prayer. Like I said, we can do a lot of things, but prayer we can do all the time.
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray for each other. Pray for Sunday service coming up. And just keep us all healthy. If you feel bad, don't come to church. Okay? If you're sick, don't come to church. Just take it easy. We'll get through this thing. Don't worry about it. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word we've heard tonight. Father, we know that the world was looking for Jesus and he was standing right in front of them. And Lord, the same thing's happening in this hour. Lord, you're here on the scene and the world is looking right past you. They're looking for something different. But Lord, thank God you sent us a prophet that sent our focus in the right direction to see that the one true and living God is not just living among us. He's living inside of us. And the things that we do, Lord, during the time that we're out in the world, Lord, that we'll show you, Lord. And they'll say, there's a true Christian walking down the street or something that you do and the prayers that we give. Lord, that means something to people because they don't have that Jesus to look to. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that they'll see the Jesus in all of us. And Lord, that you'll sanctify us for this journey that we're on now, Lord. We all need a touch from you in our bodies, Lord, and even in our spiritual being. Father, we still need more of you. We pray now that you'd be with us on the highways as we travel home. Take care of each one, Lord. We come back together on Sunday, that you'll give us a real good time in you, Lord, and everything will be done for your honor and glory. And these little things that we're doing with the church, Lord, we pray that you'll be the center of all this. That it'll be for you, Lord, to be fellowship between the brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Father, be with us. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for the service that he gave us tonight. We pray now that we'll chew on that, Lord, and just take to eat the body word of the Son of Man, and that we'll carry this thing up, Lord, to the coming of the Lord. Father, we thank you for all things. We ask you to be with the ones that are not here, Lord, the ones that are traveling, that will be traveling back, Lord. We pray that you'd be with them. Touch each one of us, Father, Brother Roel, Lord. Just continue, Lord, to just, we're gonna bombard heaven with prayers of the saints, Lord.
Amen.
And we're gonna keep calling his name, Lord, because he's a precious friend of ours, Lord.
Amen.
Not just a brother, but he's a precious friend, Lord, that we would truly love to hug at this moment if we could. But Lord, you sent the Holy Ghost, Lord, in all of us. That we can send that Holy Ghost to anywhere in the world, to any people in the world that's needy, Father. The ones in Afghanistan and the ones that maybe don't even know we exist over there, Lord, and they're getting persecuted and even being shot and killed for their belief. Lord, we pray that you'd put a hedge around them, that you'll get them out of that country, Lord, or either protect them, Lord, as they're in that country doing your work. Father, just give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.